Thank you for tuning in to the World Overcomers podcast. On behalf of our senior pastor, Andy Thompson, we appreciate your continued support and generosity. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast to receive updates when we post new content every week. To learn more about World Overcomers or Pastor Andy, please visit worldovercomers.church. Enjoy the message.
To win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Verse 15 says, "Not all of us who are mature, all of us who are grown, should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you." And 1 John chapter 3, 1 verse 3, again, NIV, again, familiar pastor scripture, it's just what I do. 1 John 3, 1 says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him." Dear friends, beloved, now we are the sons of God. Now we are the children of God, and what we shall be has not yet been made known. What we will be has not yet been made known, but we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And all of us who have this hope in him purifies themselves. All who have this hope in Christ purify themselves just as he is pure. The title of my message this morning is, But When You Groan. Bow your head, let me pray for you. Lord, I pray that you'll speak, Lord, just now. Some wonderful truth that you'd have for us to see. God, I pray that in these next few minutes that you'll open up our eyes. We'll see. You'll open up our ears. We want to hear. And then, God, more than anything, open up our hearts that we might receive and believe and receive everything you say to us in these next 30 minutes. Have thine own way, God. Be the potter to our clay. Be the architect to our lives. Make a plan and we'll follow you. We'll hear you and we'll be obedient. Have your way in us. Kingdom of God come. Will of God be done. In Jesus' name we pray. We all said together, amen. You may be seated in the name of the Lord. When you groan. If I can draw your attention to verse 15 of the previous verses there in Philippians chapter number 3, where Paul says, yeah, all of us who are mature, all of us then who are grown folk, all of us who got some grown on us, should take such a view of things. And if on some point you see it differently, that too God will make clear to you. All of us who are mature, all of us who grown. Anybody in here grown? You know if you grown by whether or not you got keys on you to stuff. And the keys goes to stuff that you pay for. Just grown. You have a different view, a different perspective. I know I've told the story before, but it just is apropos and it bears repeating. When I started wearing glasses, I didn't always wear glasses. For most of my life, I had very good eyesight. But as I matured, my eyes stopped working the way they used to. Initially, I thought that the problem was everything but me. I figured something wrong with these cords. This television ain't clear. I took televisions back to the store. I changed HDMI cables. I did all kinds of stuff, trying to figure out why the world was no longer in HD. I was squinting and it's just dark, and I said all kinds of stuff until inevitably what happened, almost accidentally, my son who wears glasses came in and his glasses were dirty, and I said, "I'll clean them for you," and I cleaned them, and I wondered, what do I look like in glasses? It was just being vain, really. I just wanted to see how cute glasses might make me, hallelujah. And so I just tried them on, and the world changed. Everything was different. Glass that I thought was frosted glass became clear. And I realized the problem was not the HDMI cable. The problem was not that LG TV. I had called LG. I had cussed them out over this TV. I realized the problem was not that. It was me. And things that used to be clear were now cloudy. That my view had changed. What I once was so sure about, I wasn't so sure about it anymore. What I once thought I knew so well, for all of us in here who are grown, we can remember the surety that went with 18. The surety that went with 25. The surety that went with 34. When I hear my son Manny Arango or any of those young guys preach and they stand here so sure, I think, my God, I remember when I was 36 and I just knew what I knew. And I knew what God was saying. And better not nobody even try to question me or doubt me or ask me nothing. But when you groan, you realize life ain't all that easy and simple to predict. And what was once so clear is now not as crystal. The world that used to be in HDMI is now analog for you, some folks. Don't even know what analog is. You don't even know nothing about the TVs we used to mess with. The contrast button in the back. Anyway, what I'm saying to you is something happens to your perspective when you're grown. You see the world at a different level when you groan. And you know, not to spend too much time on it, but there are several levels of grown. And since I'm talking about being grown, and since folk, take that off. There's different levels, thank you. I don't know why I put that in the notes, but there's certain levels to being grown. I wrote this sermon late. There's certain levels to being grown. If you're sitting here wondering, if you're watching, well, am I grown? Well, I'll define it for you. The first level of grown, these grown levels, first level of grown, number one, is you take care of you. That's the start. You take care of you. You pay for you. You pay for you. You responsible for you. My children are becoming adults, and I'm like, yep, it's adult time. And a part of the way you know you're an adult is you pay for you. I need a witness in the building. Responsibility and authority go together. You don't get to have authority while I have responsibility. This is why you left your mama's house, because your mama told you, well, as long as you live in this house, and you said, okay, well, I'll go get my own room. I'll go get an apartment where I pay, because me paying is me saying. It's not fair for you to say and you don't pay. It's not fair for you to pay and you don't get say. The two go together when you are able to take care of yourself. Now, I know this is a challenge because some of us in the room were just made to be grown early. We had keys around our necks to houses that we didn't pay for. We went home by ourselves. We were allowed on the T and allowed on the bus and rode our bike. There was no dropping nobody off at school. There was no picking nobody up at school. There was no phones. There was no contact. You left your mama at 7:30 and she just trusted you in the hands of God till you got back around 3. She'd say, when you're done, come straight back home. Get on your bike and bring your right back home, because you were just a free agent out there. And there was an expectation of you to get a job when you was 12. My parents offered a roof and some food, clothes that you didn't like. If you wanted something nice, you best to go get yourself a job and pay for your own Adidas, because all they're paying for is zips. Okay, so what I'm saying to you is you want that authority? Got it. You will now have to take responsibility. It goes all the way across the board. You take care of you. You're not in a position to have an attitude if you don't take care of you. The first level of grown is you just take care of yourself. The second level of grown is you take care of others. You're actually responsible for other people. You have a child, changes everything. You have a baby, changes everything. You all bring that baby home from the hospital, it changes everything. Your whole mind is changed. You now realize you are now responsible for another little life. They have a social security number. They're on the grid. You got to feed them little people. If they die, you going to jail. Got to watch them. You got to send them to school, and you got to make sure they look right, and you got to, because folk are watching. This is America. You had that child, and now you feel the weight, gentlemen. All right. I got somebody I got to pay for. I got to leave a legacy to my children's children. It's a whole nother level. If all you do is just take care of yourself, you've grown at a certain level, but you're not really grown as somebody who is also now responsible for someone else. It's just another level. It doesn't mean you're not grown, but you're not at the same grown level as me if you're only taking care of you. And if you speak up too much, I might check you and say, relax, because all you have to take care of is just yourself. You have no idea what this feels like to be responsible for someone else. Not just your child, but also someone that you're connected to. You're not ready to be responsible for someone else unless you're a certain level of grown. Because now your actions are responsible. You, if you're not ready to take care of a wife, you're not ready to take care of a husband, you will have to be prepared for the fact that your actions and behavior will dictate a certain level of their happiness. Takes some grownness to do it. Don't ask for a husband if you ain't ready to take care of one. Because husbands is work. Husbands is a whole job all to itself. And y'all want to have a job and make your money, go boo-boo, make your paper. And then you want a dude too? That dude sitting next to you is a whole job. I wish I could get an amen in here. It's a whole nother problem that you got to get up in the morning with your mind stayed on Jesus and say, Lord, and help me with this man, God. And Paul about to walk in here, Jesus. And Andre want me to make him some egg. Yeah, it is a whole, don't ask God for one if you ain't ready for the challenge of it. Don't have one just for the window dressing. Don't ask for one just because you think you'll look cute with one. Understand that having a man is a problem. I need a witness in him. Having a man is a problem. Don't wave too loud if he's here with you. It is a problem. Elders got up and said, preach, Pastor Andy. It is a problem. And I'll just move on, gentlemen. I won't put us in the doghouse because I want all of us to be able to have a good time tonight. It's Sunday. But we won't even talk about the terror and challenge and difficulty and pain. Sleepless nights and fasting and prayer it takes to put up with any of. Anyway, what I'm saying is when you taking care of somebody else, you've grown at another level now. You got a whole nother level of grown. We kind of look a little bit. Move on, right, Elder Clark? We kind of look a little down on you if you haven't taken that step. If you're honest. You see somebody who you think, who say they grown and they ain't got no kids, you're like, okay. you're cute. Like, oh, your adulthood is cute to us. Like, oh, you're just cute. You ain't got no teenagers. Oh, you ain't got nobody eating all your food. Oh, you ain't got nobody where the police call you in the middle of the night. Oh. You don't smell weed in your basement? Oh, you ain't grown like us. I need a witness. You ain't grown till you digging through drawers and you finding, you ain't grown. You had another level of grown when them people start driving. Think you worried when they six? Try 16 when they ask for the keys, little heathens. Anyway, or take the keys without asking. All right. You're at another level of grown. Third level of grown. I'm moving on. Next level of grown is you take care of business. You have a responsibility for money that affects others. Not just your money, but other people's money. You can be trusted with actually getting a promotion. We all want a promotion without understanding that the promotion takes another level of grown. Because if you don't do your job at that level, you affect everybody below you and beneath you, and you need to be careful asking God for advancement when you ain't grown enough to handle the fact that if you don't do your job, we lose money up in here. That there is a serving that goes with royalty. So you have one view when you're the worker. You have a whole nother view when you're the boss. You have one view when you're the renter. You have a whole nother view when you're the landlord. I wish I had a witness in the building. Get your own property. Have your own tenants. You'll have a completely different view when you now are here to take care of business. You're not just, you are a sower and not just an eater. Seed is different when you're a sower and not just an eater. When you're just an eater and you're just taking care of you, and can I say this to you? A good partner is not just an eater, they're a sower. They respect your sacrifice. They respect what it took for us to get here as a company. They respect what it took for us to get here as a church. They respect what it takes to make your name your name. You don't feel this till you put your shingle, put your name on the shingle on the door. Then you hire people that now are meant to represent your business. And you get to see who grown and who not grown. Who can be trusted off the clock? I gotta move on. Who can be trusted off the clock? Who can be trusted with clients that will affect your business long term? That is another level of grown. You are at another level of grown when you could take responsibility for your career, for your purpose, when your purpose drives you. As long as you are driven by pleasure, you are only at a certain level of grown. We see you as a child. All of us who are driven by purpose look down on you if you are driven by the party. I need an amen on that. I needed somebody to say, it's so true. It's like, oh, it's so cute. Oh, all right. You're so cute with your chase and your pleasure. I don't know how well I could trust you with real riches. I don't know how well I can trust you with responsibility because you may be tired and not show up. But if you grown, you can work tired. If you grown, you can work sick. If you walk in here with an attitude about your sick days, you're just not that grown. If you grown, you realize there's a goal that we're trying to reach. There's a product we have to put out here. There's a something we got to do, and we don't have time for you to be sad. Oh, I wish I had a witness in the building. Sorry, it's just another level of grown, and I think it's something that needs to be talked about because we're just really good with everybody being babies today. But Paul says, well, all of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if you think differently, God will show that to you too. Meaning that a part of this relationship with God is God allowing you to see things differently than the way you used to see them. And you begin to realize that when you were a child, you thought like a child, and you talked like a child, and you reasoned like a child, you calculated like a child. But when you became an adult, you put childish ways behind you. It didn't just fall off, you had to take it off. I need an amen, somebody. Is somebody gonna say this, Pastor Andy? It's so true. I had to put childishness off of me. I had to realize I didn't get mature just from getting old. I got grown as a result of understanding that maturity is the goal. I think one of the greatest challenges to my relationship with God is that his goal for me is not perfection. His goal for me is maturity. And the Lord will let stuff happen just to grow you up. Can I get a witness in the building? The Bible actually says that the tough time, perseverance, must finish its work in you so that you can be complete and mature and not lack anything. And if you lack wisdom, ask God, who gives generously to all, and he will give you wisdom for your tough place. Fourth level of grown, and I'll move on. I got 10 minutes left. Anybody hear anything from the Lord? Fourth level of grown is you can handle reality. Highest level of grown is you can handle reality. You can handle death. Oh, I can't go to any funerals. That's all right. You're just not as grown as people who can. I got quiet in here. I don't want to think about my will. I don't want to think about last will. I don't want to think about my planning and leaving stuff. It makes me feel a certain way. Right. You're not grown. When you grown, you realize no matter how much kale you eat, you're going to die. When you grown, you realize no matter how much water you drink, no matter how much you shave off your face, no matter what you put in your hair, make it black, you are still going to die. So you can handle pain. You can handle death. You can handle conspiracy. You can handle betrayal. If betrayal makes you just stay in the bed and not get up, you just got another level of grown to get to. You can't handle any hate. You can't handle any misunderstanding. Hate and misunderstanding is par for the course. It is life. Life is full of misunderstanding. Life is full of people thinking something about you that they ain't right about. You can't give up. You can't just turn on. You can't just give up on the world. You just got to grow some. And you just got to be grown. You can handle the reality of life, the reality of the political system, the reality of these presidential candidates, the reality of what your money's worth. If the minute somebody starts talking about what your money's worth, then you got to turn the channel. You just can't listen to none of that. It's okay. You're just not as grown as people who can sit there and say, wow, they really printed a lot of money and 25% of the money in our economy has been printed since 2020. That means my dollar is worth less than it was 4 years ago. If you're like, la, 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 and you can't handle that, it's okay. You're just not that grown. You may be grown enough to take care of yourself. You may be grown enough to take care of your baby. You may be grown enough to take care of a certain amount of business. But if you can't handle the reality that you need to go to the doctor. Oh, I wish I had a witness in the building. The reality, write down, the reality of the prostate check. The reality of the colonoscopy. Ooh, I still remember it. Some people can't handle the reality of the colonoscopy. They'd rather stay in the dark because you're just not grown enough. And you begin to realize that to be grown means that you are spiritual and realistic. Woo, this is a tough word. It's tough to me. Because a bit of what we can do in the spiritual world is allow our faith and our spirituality and our prayer life and our Bible and our unknown God to allow us to not be grown enough to face the reality of the world. We bury our heads in the sands of the Holy Ghost. I know I'm stepping on my own toes. We just say, well, Jesus will fix it. Well, God will take care of it. Well, I put it in his hands. Well, God got it. Yeah, okay, praise God for it. But if you really are spiritual, you can be spiritual with your eyes wide open and not your eyes wide shut. Come on, somebody wave at me. It's true, Pastor Andy. As much prayer as you need to have, you also need to understand how things are working and what exactly is going on. And be careful. I got a prayer life too. I pray in a heavenly language too. I pray in the spirit too. I don't know what I'm saying, but just because I pray in a heavenly language that I don't know doesn't mean that I don't understand any English. I don't read the paper in tongues. I don't even know how to spell. I don't even know how to spell none of that. What is this? Is that else? Okay, anyway. What I'm saying to you is we have to be careful that we're not so spiritual that we're not real. That in my estimation, when I look at the Bible lets us know that walking this thing is going to be a nice balance of faith and real. You see it in 1 John chapter 3. And I'm just going to break it down to you. And I know it's rainy, but this is where I'm at this morning. I trust you're getting something from it. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, one of the greatest passages in all the Bible, in which it says, verse 1 says, see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. That first reality is that his love made us adopted kids. His love made us adopted kids. We're kids, but we're lavished with love and grace and called children of God. That the whole ministry to the Gentiles was so that what was offered to the children of Israel, it's now that Abraham is now our father through faith. And that he is the firstborn of many brethren, but that we acknowledge that we are his children. But we adopted children. See how when I say adopted, we all get quiet because I have spiritual adopted kids and I am a spiritual adopted. I got adopted, I got mamas and I know what it's like to be on both ends of it. And there is a reality to it. There is a reality to understand, woo, look at the love that has been lavished on me, that I should be called a child of God. Wow, I am so grateful for the mercy and the grace that allows me to be called a child of God. I couldn't earn it. I don't have it by blood. I don't. His mercy and his grace, and Jesus died, and he said it's finished, and the veil in the temple is written too. And so that now the dwelling of God is with man, and that now I get to be a part of the family of God. Wow, that's amazing. And I understand it so that I don't start feeling myself. and get away from the fact that his grace is sufficient for me. And I didn't earn it. I couldn't earn it. It is by grace that I've been saved through faith. It's not of myself. It's a gift of God, not by work, so that I don't start feeling better than others and looking down on other people. I don't think of myself more highly than I ought, but rather in sober judgment according to the measure of faith that God has given me, because I'm a child of God, but I'm adopted into the family. I really don't have a right to this favor. I really don't have a right to this blessing. I really don't have a right to what he's done for me. I really don't have a right when I think of what he's done for me. It don't take a lot for me to praise. And it don't take a lot for me to say hallelujah. It don't take a lot for me to give. It doesn't take a lot for me to tithe, because when I think about it, I really shouldn't be here anyway. God spared me. God made a way for me. My friends ain't even here. God has done so much for me. Oh, I will gladly give. I will gladly serve. You have a different perspective when you're an adopted child. We don't like to talk about it. We don't like to think about it. Yesterday at the wedding, it's great, it's awesome. The father of the bride got up and spoke. And I thought, yeah, that man paid for the party. And he spoke before I prayed. And then I said, hey, let's give it up for the father of the bride, because this is his party. He paid for this, which is rare. Most of us are trying to figure out how to pay for our own thing. But this man is like, no. He had one daughter, and he paid for his daughter's wedding. It was awesome. And while he was talking, he said to John Davis, he said to our spiritual son, he said, I love you as much as I love my daughter. And I thought, It's a really nice sentiment. Come on, let's be honest. It's a really nice sentiment. It's a really nice thought. It's a really sweet thing to say. Just ain't true. You feel a way about your baby that you don't feel about. Unless you have a baby, I'm so sorry. Don't even lie. Tell your mama, don't lie to him. She ain't never going to love him as much as she love you. And that's not going to, maybe even that, maybe 20 years, maybe. And that's a maybe. Some of y'all's mama still don't like your spouse. Anyway, what I'm saying is that we say these kinds of things because we don't want to deal with the reality of adoption. We don't want to rest in the grace that is being extended to us. We're uncomfortable with grace. We're uncomfortable with the attitude of gratitude, because if I acknowledge that I'm adopted, then I got to be grateful. And grateful gets old. Anybody want to say amen? Instead of maintaining gratitude, we want to start walking around like we got a right to this stuff. Instead of being able to make a request, we want to stick our chest out and start acting like we got a right to all of this. And no one ever dares to check us and say, now, wait a minute. Think about what you were when you were washed. Think about what you were when God found you. As a matter of fact, Paul says God chose the lowly things. He reminds us. He chose the weak things to shame the strong, so that no one who boasts can boast before him. That's why the scripture says, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. Let me move on. It's a good passage, but it's a tough passage. He says next, the reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. So the second thing that's here is just spiritual and realistic, is that misunderstanding comes with the territory. If you going to have your feelings hurt because you're not recognized as a child of God, and you're not recognized by the favor that's on your life, and you're not recognized by the Holy Ghost. And do you know who you're talking to? Do you know what God has done for me? If you have an attitude about that, you don't understand. This goes with the territory. The world didn't even recognize Jesus. Jesus was crucified, lied on, spit at, nailed to a cross, joked about. So misunderstanding goes along with it. Who promised you perfect understanding? Who promised you that everybody was going to see you the way your mama saw you? This is grown folk talk right here. When you grown, you just begin to understand, yeah, I mean, everybody's not going to know me, and everybody's not going to understand me, and everybody's not, and I'm only going to do but so much to kill myself, to explain myself to you. I'm 35 years old. You know me. If you don't know me by now, you don't. You will never know. Maybe you just. I'm trying the best I can, but I'm only gonna go but so far to explain myself to you because misunderstanding comes with it, and sometimes you misunderstand me because you really are talking about you. You're talking about what you would do if you were me. What you would do if you looked like this. What you would do if you had this. What you would do, how you would be. Oh, I got to move on, huh, Pastor Tyrus? I'm getting in trouble. Then here's the scariest part. I'm sorry. Verse 2, he says, dear children, dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we shall be has not yet been made known. The present is known. The future is unknown. Can I get all of us to say that? Everybody say, the present is known. The future is unknown. Now, that was weak. I want everybody to say it. I know it's a hard statement to make because we want Holy Ghost to let us know everything that's in the future. But Jesus said, no man knows the day or the hour when the Son of Man shall appear. We love to watch folk and their prophecies of end times. But the truth of the matter is, let's say it, the present is known. The future is unknown. Come on, say it one more time. The present is known. The future is unknown. No amount of Holy Ghost, nobody in here has the Spirit without measure. No amount of praying, there's still going to be a factor in this thing called life that is unknown. God knows how to settle us and say, all right, beloved, now we are the children of God. All right, you're all right. Okay, you've been adopted into the family. Misunderstandings come with it, but you get it. Right now, I'm telling you who you are. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to wonder. Christ died. He paid the price. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left this crimson stain. He washed it. And now I am a child of God. And you can say, hallelujah, I'm a child of God. Dear friends, right now, we are the children of God, and what we shall be is unknown. And one of the ways in which you can see grownness in people and maturity in people is how well they handle the unknown. Sometimes folk are just determined to keep all of us where we were. We don't like what we can't see. We don't like a future in which we can't predict it, even though the Bible tells us, yeah, but what we shall be has not yet been made known. Right now, you are CEO, but what you shall be has not yet been made known. Right now, you are a nurse, but what you shall be has not yet been made known. Right now, you're a teacher, but what shall be has not been yet made known. You don't know what you're going to be doing 10 years from now, and it is faithless for you to overly predict it. When you groan, you say, now I'm here, and what I shall be has not yet been made known. But oh no, when he shall appear, I shall be like him, meaning that my relationship with him is intact regardless of the unknown of the future.
Worship. I know the more I pray, I know the more word I read, the more study I get, the closer I get to Christ, the more I change. I have to be all right with the unknown because who I am now is going to change as a result of my relationship with Christ. You can't be with Christ and stay the same. You can't be with the Lord and stay the same. He love you like you are, but he love you too much to leave you like that. He's going to change how you walk and change how you talk and change how you think and change how you see and change where you go and change the stuff. He's got to do that so he can use you. He's got to do that so he can bless you. Why would he find you broken and leave you in the same state he found you in? It's not just when he appears and comes back at the second coming. It's the greater his appearance to you, the more transformation happens in you. You can't be okay with Christ and not be okay with transformation. You can't be a Christian and be so sure about now that you're not open to a future that you don't now see. What you shall be has not yet been made known. And people that hold on too hard to the past and hold on too hard to the history are people who aren't grown enough to let the past go. Oh, I'm walking heavy in here this morning. I'm talking deep. I know it's hard. We just expect everybody to be the same way all the time and do everything the exact same way all the time. And we are shocked and surprised when all of a sudden something changes. But transformation happens with a relationship with Christ. And you can't grow and stay the same. Verse 3, and I'm done. He says, all who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. Meaning that acts of purity are fueled by hope. Put that on the screen for you. Acts of purity are fueled by hope. Leave it up there for just a second. Don't take it down so quick. Acts of purity are fueled by hope. So, us coming here together for church is an act of purity. It is something we believe is purifying. Let me go on down to church. Let me worship the Lord. Let me get some prayer so I can get some Christ in me to balance out the evil of the world I deal with on a regular basis. Let me tune in here real quick. Let me get some word in me because I believe that that is a purifying thing. Let me take communion. Let me take this bread and take this cup because it is an act of purity. It is something. Let me get baptized. Let me go down to the church. Let me go serve and help somebody because that is an act of purity. It is something that I'm doing to purify myself. And it is fueled by hope. It's not fueled by just faith. It is fueled by an expectation of better. An expectation that God's got more for me. An expectation that what I'm dealing with now is not the end. And that I actually have an expectation for things to go to another level. And beloved, I would contend to you that what the devil is after is not your stuff. He's after your hope. He's after your faith. He's after your expectation of greater. Because he knows if he can rob you of your hope, he can rob you of your bath. You get depressed enough and you don't bathe. You don't want to see the sunlight if you lose all hope. You don't put no deodorant when you on when you don't have no hope. You don't brush your teeth when you don't have no hope. You just eat everything in front of you when you have no hope. But your acts of purification are fueled by hope. You think he wanted your car? He don't want your car. He wants your hope. You think he wanted your money? He don't want your money. He wants your hope. The thief comes to kill and steal and destroy. But his game is a long game. He's not after just your stuff. He's after the belief that you'll ever have anything ever again. He's after your hope. He's after your expectation. The devil is a liar. We got to rebuke him in the name of Jesus. He didn't just take your daddy from you. He's trying to take your whole confidence and family altogether. He didn't just, and it's not just that your mama died of cancer. He's trying to get you to think that nothing ever works for you.
that you're a loser and that you'll never be a winner, and the devil is a liar. We speak life and not death, blessings and not cursings, because we have this hope as an anchor to our soul. And we walk by faith and not by sight. And we can't allow the circumstances to stop us from voting and stop us from working and stop us from saving and stop us from investing. All you see on your news or social media is just fear to rob you of all hope. But the devil is a liar. The God we serve is able to see us through. And the same God that saw our ancestors, those of us who are descendants of slaves, the same God that saw us through that will see us safely on. By grace we made it thus far, and grace will see us home. But what has happened to us is we stopped going to church, and we stop reading our Bible, and we stop taking communion, and we stop getting baptized, and we stop praying, because our hope has been robbed from us. We got to keep our hope alive. You got to believe. No, God's got something better. Tell somebody, God's got something better for you. God's got something better for you. No, keep on watching. Late in the midnight hour, God can turn this thing around for me. And I refuse to give up on my faith. I refuse to give up on my hope. No, God spoke to me. No, the Lord loves me. No, there's favor all over me. I might not look like it right now. I might be in the pit right now. But you know what? I'm about to come out this pit. I may go through the prison, but I'm going to end up in the palace. No, you don't understand. The God I serve is able to deliver me. No. He has brought me way too far. I've been through way too much. I have come this far by faith. I am leaning on the Lord. I am trusting him. Oh, no, you don't know like I know what the Lord has done for me, where he brought me from. If you had seen me 10 years ago, but God moved on my behalf, and the last thing you're going to get me to do is give up on my hope. I'm not going to slowly commit suicide with Krispy Kreme. I rebuke honey buns in the name of Jesus with the ice glaze. I might have one, but I rebuke them. You'd be surprised what happens when your hope is robbed. We can't just ask God to increase our faith. We have to ask him to restore our hope. The Bible says, everyone who has this hope in Christ, the hope that says what I shall be, has not yet been made known. This may be where I am right now, but you keep watching me. What I shall be has not yet been made known. I may be working for this person right now, but you just keep on watching me. What I shall be has not yet been made known. I may only be making this much right now, but you keep on watching me, because I have a hope as an anchor to my soul. It's how I sleep at night. Otherwise, there's nothing left but liquor and weed, so that I could just anesthetize myself from my hopeless existence and let me hit my vape pen every 5 seconds just so I don't have to feel the feelings that I have no hope. That's a word to me. I need a witness in the building. I'm speaking to you and me. Don't you dare give up your hope. I said, don't you dare give up your hope. You keep your hope alive. Let Jesse Jackson speak. Keep hope alive. Don't you never let your hope go. Don't you ever stop talking what God's going to do. Don't you ever stop speaking of what the Lord is about to do. Don't you ever give up your confidence. It will be rewarded. Don't you ever stop telling people, oh, you wait and see what God's about to do for me. You just got to be careful who you tell your dream to. Oh, I need a witness in the building. Decide now, this is not the end. You're on your way somewhere. If you believe it, put your hands together and tell God something.
Thank you for tuning in today with World Overcomers. We hope our message has empowered you to embrace the balanced victory that God has designed for you. If you're ever in the Raleigh-Durham area, we would love for you to be our guest on Sundays at 10 a.m. Be sure to share this message with someone today, and be sure to follow us on all of our World Overcomers social media platforms. Until we meet again, stay blessed, and see you in the next episode.